I like the character that is, oh, this is a funny story from Comic-Con. I was talking about Human Giant.
Yeah.
And I was talking really loud about Human Giant. And I look over and 5 feet away from me is Paul Scheer.
Really?
Yeah. He was just looking at me.
Just staring at you?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, yeah, dude. I was like, I love those guys, yeah. And he's just 5 feet away.
It's kind of weird.
It's a weird story, yeah. Hey, you never know what you're going to see then.
He's the worst one out of all of them.
Yeah, the other guy, Aziz is funny, and the other guy.
Aziz is really funny.
The other guy's actually funny, too.
Hey, do your podcast.
I don't
want to, so do your podcast.
Well, I'm going to do this podcast as long as I want.
Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight we're going to talk about Moon. We're going to talk about funny people. Okay. Moon was directed by Duncan Jones, David Bowie's son.
Dead son.
His dead son.
Dead son.
And it was kind of a cautionary tale against privatizing space, I guess. In the end, I didn't find it to be particularly novel, but the interaction of Sam Rockwell with various other characters that were not altogether unlike Sam Rockwell was unique enough and interesting enough that I found it enjoyable. Any other takes?
I didn't think it was about the dangers of privatization. I thought it was more of a cautionary genetics type deal about how they kept mentioning the slight variances that they would create in them and how that would basically make them what amounted to their own person. Even though they were, and the thing that made all of them the same was the fact that they had had the same memories implanted, and those were the things that they latched onto were those, so that, your idea is that, I think it was more of like a nurture over nature type argument where, cloning is one thing, but you would still be making somebody who would grow up with its own experiences and be its own person, and it wouldn't really be,
It would last as long as it was built to last.
Yeah, and I don't think that, and that wasn't, I think it was just in a really good sci-fi structure like that, and that's why the whole thing about the age of death and everything, what happened. I found it really interesting, and it was a lot less boring after the twist than I had been led to believe, so I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I also
like a good sci-fi film.
Like the fact that they sort of got through some of the stuff that you kind of figured out. They just kind of made it apparent, and rather than continuing to kind of belabor further mystery, they just kind of said, "Okay, no, screw it. Here, it's this. This is what's happening. This is what's happening, and here you are at." What did you think of it, Luke?
Moon?
Yeah,
I thought it was disappointing based upon all the hype, but it was pretty good. It was a low budget movie. It was made for, I believe, under $20 million. And so for what they achieved, it was...
It had great effects for a low-budget sci-fi thing.
Yeah, it was a kind of a Kubrick-type movie, but...
Yeah, Kubrick-esque.
I felt they could have gone in more interesting directions. Like, I would have found it much more... A better film if they didn't have spoiled the actual twist within the first act. Hmm. I mean, kind of all the tension was gone after you find out that he's a clone.
Well, but I don't know if that was really what the movie was about.
Oh, yeah, I think that the twist isn't... It wasn't... I agree that by the fact that they do the twist too early that it makes the less of it less interesting, but I think the movie itself was about, I think it really was about cloning and genetic differences, and so I think that it was important that you did know that those characters were the same. Because you could tell they had different personalities and stuff, even though they were the same, a clone of the same person.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think it was. It's very obvious that the intent was to go in that direction. Yeah. I'm just saying that I think the sort of the whole clone thing is sort of an overplay.
Something else, to like you had mentioned after we saw it. You had, this was the second time you'd seen it, but if they had some sort of other interesting big thing in the last act, aside from just one of them trying to escape, then it maybe would have put a little more gravity behind it or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So to speak, being the third.
Well, an idea, they could have had, Earth. He could have been 1,000 years from when he started, from the first character, and
But then, you know, it would have been a different movie. It's right. Just a matter of opinion. But for what they achieved in the low budget, it was really interesting.
I thought Rockwell was incredible. I think he's a great actor, and it was really fantastic acting by him. I had gone to it straight from watching Funny People, and everyone's been going on and on about how good the acting is, like on the level of like Adam Sandler and stuff. And it's just interesting to see something where you don't hear much about it because it is lower budget, and the stuff you do hear is generally on like blogs and stuff like that. But you know, I doubt he's going to get any sort of like mention for best actor or anything like that. But Rockwell really was fantastic in it, and if somebody nominates Adam Sandler just because Funny People is like a James L. Brooks-ish type thing, then that's a dumb reason to nominate someone for best actor.
That happens, though.
Because a comedian...
It's a popularity contest. It's bullshit. But I mean, you know, he'll get a Golden Globe, probably.
He's done it a few times already. He's done it a few times where he did Punch Drunk Love, and he did Spanglish, which was...
James L. Brooks.
Which was James L. Brooks, yeah. Yeah, so he's done it already, so I don't know why we should keep giving him the opportunity to pull Robin Williams.
I would be surprised if Adam Sandler gets nominated. I think the problem with a movie like Moon is that you always have a better chance of winning if the expectations are low in the beginning.
Yeah.
I think the problem with that film
was
that
hype from the beginning.
Exactly, it was elevated expectations because it's one of the first intelligent sci-fi movies.
There was stuff from all angles from it too. The fact that it was you know, sci-fi fans were all hyped about it, and then at the same time. For some reason, people kept being so excited that it was David Bowie's kid. Like, that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
it
really doesn't.
And even Trudy Styler, you know, produced it, so it's all...
Yeah, it's all in the family.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised Sting didn't do the score.
Or maybe go, but they got Clint Mansell, who does all the stuff for Aronofsky.
And Incredible. Yeah. And 28 Days Later.
Yeah,
Incredible.
I like his
score. I like the score.
I mean, every now and again, the strings get a little overwrought for me, but... I think that there were some execution problems, this being Bowie's kid's first movie.
I thought he
did okay, but there was just a couple of problems. The few times that I felt like the editing was a little haywire. Yeah. And then the thing with the AI, I mean, Kevin Spacey, first off, I think was maybe a bad choice.
I liked it.
Because it was Kevin Spacey sounding like Kevin Spacey. Yeah. It really kind of took you out of the movie. For me, at least. And then the whole, I mean, they kind of kept the AI from turning into a HAL thing was nice.
Yeah.
But... it was literally the deus machina like four times in the movie, you know?
But I think...
And you could never figure out quite what it was all about. It's like, well, I'm programmed to help you.
Yeah.
And I guess if whatever you is going on, I'm programmed to help,
right.
You know? So...
It's, I'm sure, some sort of statement about technology being for, you know, the betterment of all people, since one of those sort of things. I don't know. I thought it was... had some funny parts, and I really think as far as the... directorial style goes, I like when first-time directors... I like seeing first-time directors' things, and especially when it ends up getting, like, major release. That's actually good.
Yeah.
And that's good for him, because, you know, a lot of people end up, you know, cranking out a couple of movies, and then by the time you go back to see their first one, you're like, the production values aren't that good. I kind of wish I would have seen this one come out, then I might have cared, and all this stuff.
I didn't like
but in this case,
Lens
I liked... I felt like, you know, he obviously is not super experienced, and at the same time, the audacity of a first-time director doing things that he probably shouldn't be doing with angles and various things is always interesting to see for me.
Yeah.
I always enjoy seeing that a lot.
Okay, I'll give you that. I think, I don't know if it's the cinematographer, if it's the director's making some choices, but I had some, I think he used, his focus was a little soft sometimes in spots and things. And it did, like I said, it was just some minor problems with execution. I'd say all in all...
Technical-wise, the only thing I even noticed really in a negative aspect was every once in a while, their sound wasn't fantastic, and every time someone was looking away from the camera and talking, it kind of went like, it was like the type of problem you have in on video when someone turns around and says something, you can't hear them as well, and you think they would have maybe taken care of that.
But who knows?
But I mean, I don't think the production value is any issue in this. I think it was very well done.
I think if people realized for what that movie is made for and what they were able to achieve. So to me, the problem with the movie had nothing to do with the. I had no problem with the camera work or the editing or the performances. It was really just more of a story thing. I mean, there's also certain things that bothered me in the movie. For instance, when you first see that he's kind of, you know, losing his mind, perhaps, you see the shots of the girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I felt like
that was never
it's never explained. It's
never
very...
Well, kind of was. The girl was the daughter.
I don't think so.
No.
It was the daughter.
But it wasn't.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Because in seeing it twice, I was actually looking for that, and it's actually just a random girl.
Yeah.
And that's what threw me for a loop.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, I think that's
because he wouldn't have seen her as an adult anyway. He's only ever seen pictures.
Exactly.
Of
so
he, well, if he had, if this had all happened to him before, you know,
where he
this doesn't happen. He had never found out, but this is the first time he actually found out the truth. So
it might have been something they ended up cutting later.
Yeah, know? Exactly. That's probably what happened. That kind of bothered me. And certain things like for instance, where I knew the very moment that when he was getting the message from his wife that would have jumped.
Yeah,
it was so. I know that his point wasn't to make it a mystery,
right?
But it just ruins the suspense that the movie has, because it could have been much more interesting. It's hard. It's impossible to sustain a movie to ask an audience to be completely engrossed in something if you reveal everything there is to know within the first 30 minutes.
And that's why it becomes more of a
becomes a different movie.
Think piece after. Yeah.
But that's okay if you're making like $1 million
about a mid level band.
If you're making this movie with budget, I think it was around $20 million.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, you know. You kind of want to entertain people, and I feel like for the vast majority of people,
it should have been more gunfights. Yeah.
It should have been more nudity and a shower scene.
I was pretty well entertained by the idea of
that. I liked it. I mean, overall,
yeah. I give it a 3.5 out of 5.
I give it a 3.5 out of 5.
What do you say?
I give it a 1 star. No, I would give it 3.5.
Okay, so 3.5.
Yeah.
So you also saw Funny People.
Yeah, I won't go too far into it because there's a lot of people who are here who haven't seen it, and spoiling is unnecessary because you literally see the entire movie in the trailer.
Oh, yeah, I can figure it looks like it's just the same Apatow fare.
Does Adam Sandler die?
I can't say.
You can tell me because I really don't want to see the movie.
I don't want to see it either.
I don't want to see it.
I can't say. Yeah, see, this guy wants to see it, and so does she.
Stupid people. I just sucked into Apatow, apparently.
I just felt
formula again, really?
Yeah. Us fucking retards. Fucking bullshit movies.
There wasn't any sort of Apatow style issue that I had beyond the fact that it's extremely loosely plotted, and I just felt the main.
So it's the most self-indulgent, maybe.
It was very self-indulgent. Especially in the second half of it, it just goes on and on and on about nothing, and then suddenly it just wrap up ends like that. One of those deals.
Does it get overwrought with drama?
No. Okay. It does well to do that. It does well to do that. Right.
That's good.
Janusz Kaminski,
Spielberg's guy
shot it, so it looks a certain way. It really does look like it's trying to be more like a drama, and then at the same time you've got these nothing but dick jokes.
Yeah,
all the way through.
Did you see
dick joke? And I really honestly don't remember laughing more than once or twice, and it was never hard. And it just could be because I'm extremely jaded and was expecting this thing.
Or you're mature.
I'll see you guys there.
Drive safe.
We'll have a disc golf competition. I felt extremely, I wouldn't say let down because I wasn't expecting much, but I was really stunned that it was not funny. It was not funny. It was not a funny movie in the least. And it could be that I'm completely immune to the improv thing now, because, like we've talked about the other day, even if he's not making the film, if he's a producer on his hands on it, it's in his style of film, which is you very loosely plot something, you get some bright, funny improv comics, and you let them go to town.
It's so heavily rooted in pop culture.
It is, and it's very pop culture stuff. They make a lot of stuff where you can tell they're just saying stuff. But then it's weird in this film because you're shooting it like this very well shot, big production value. There's some expensive houses and a lot of sets, and it's like, you know, they really put a lot of care into this. And then after putting all the care into setting it up, they aim the cameras and say, just talk about whatever you want.
Well, that's one thing I've always said about comedy, which there's two types of comedy. There's the Coen Brothers style, which is
heavily plotted,
very
every single thing
plotted,
is with purpose,
and it's extremely stylized, right?
Yeah.
And in some cases it's hilarious, like Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
And in some cases it's not, like Lady Killer. So it's very hit or miss.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then there's that style, and I think the style that's more consistently funny is just sort of the it's almost like a lo-fi approach where you're not really worried about the camera work. You're not paying attention to the camera work. It's just there to showcase the performance. Yeah. Which I think is what, if you're really concerned about making a funny movie, that's the way to direct it.
The Coen Brothers thing is actually a good analogy because this was almost like he was trying to shoot a Coen Brothers film, but just went with his style of dialogue.
It's just when you have an incredibly
beautiful
shot.
Have you seen the preview for the Coen Brothers new thing?
No, I haven't.
But they just showed a trailer for it. It's called a Something Man, a Simple Man, or something like that.
Yeah.
I forget, but it's. No big actors, but it looks beautiful and it looks hilarious. And it's this like Jewish guy in the 50s who like has all of these problems, and he goes to like, and the whole trailer is this weird thing that has a beat going to it, and they keep showing what the beat is. It's somebody slamming his head into a wall. It's like an old man slamming his head into the wall.
Yeah.
And it builds up with all this tension to him. At the end, he goes to this lady and goes, "I need to speak to the rabbi very badly." And they keep going to the beats, and they go to her. She's like, "Okay, I'll see what I can do." And she slowly gets up, and she slowly opens the door. And you see her walk into this deep, dark room with this guy sitting, doing nothing at the end of the table, doing nothing. And she very slowly walks over to it, and it keeps cutting back to his face, like... And then she slowly walks back, and she closes the door. She goes, "The rabbi is busy." And she goes, "He didn't look busy to me." And she goes, "He's thinking." And then it ends. Like, it just looks fantastic.
Yeah,
and
there are always movies to look forward to.
Totally. Yeah. And it was like, this was shot like it's, like, he's trying to put some care into the look now. And it was just like, every single actor that showed up was someone who was just there to say some kind of, what would have been funny 7 years ago, improv line.
Well, I'm going to make an argument about, in terms of why funny people wouldn't work like that and why Coen Brothers do. Because the Coen Brothers, their stories are rooted in these kind of alternate universe. It's not very realistic in the scenario. It's not a believable scenario.
It's just surrealism, yeah.
Exactly. And so that's why it makes sense to shoot that way.
Sure, sure.
Judd Apatow's movies are based in reality. They should
be shot as bare bones.
Normal, exactly.
I mean, like, I got to tell you, I Love You, Man was nothing super great.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it marginally. And it was the same kind of dialogue, and it was just so loose, and it was just shot like they went out and shot these guys.
It knows what it
time.
Is. It knows
it was what it was, exactly. And this was like, here's a big bombastic thing about life and death and show business and love. And it was just the same dialogue you would have heard in I Love You, Man.
Like every filmmaker.
It was the same junk.
Judd Apatow wants to grow as a filmmaker, and he's already conquered.
To write his films for
he's him. Already conquered in terms of making these broad comedies,
and
he wants to be taken seriously as a filmmaker, and it's a challenge for anyone who's known for one specific thing to transition into making serious dramas. That's probably what he's trying to do.
He's making it more challenging by not fully transitioning. He's doing.
Well,
it sounds like the visuals are there, but then he decides to keep the story.
That shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah.
Anyone who gets a good DP can have good visuals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can have them anytime you want. You just get an inventive-looking guy and go like, you know what, make this look as good as possible. And do something interesting with filters if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, all right, cool. And then you're like, oh, that film was good-looking.
But
anyone can do that.
When I say making like what really works is when I say you can have a very normal look and have it shot fantastic. It's just that it's not having like a stylized color grade that makes it distracting. Like a Tony, when you watch a Tony Scott movie, you see a gradient filter or sepia tone, stuff that is very distinct. But unless you're parodying something, it doesn't really work that much in a broad mainstream comedy.
Right.
Just make it look normal. Make it look like almost like you're seeing it. Like what you would normally see if you're trying to create a realistic scenario. Kind of common sense.
Well, yeah, realism should look like real.
I think maybe one of the things...
Only use 50mm lenses and things.
One of the things that really backfired for this was the fact that there was so much viral stuff for it. And so many things you can go up on YouTube and look that are clips of the supposed comedians that are in
Aziz,
it.
Aziz,
And their extra stuff. That stuff's hilarious. The Randy thing.
He's basically making
fun
of Dane Cook.
Yeah. But his stuff, if you just go watch it outside of the movie, is hilarious. He's like, he's in like 10
seconds.
Yeah,
DJ,
of,
man.
There's like 10 seconds of him in the movie, but he was hilarious in his actual stuff that they made for it. And then the stand-up was by no means the worst part of the film. It wasn't bad. And by the end of it, when they were both getting better, what's his name's? Rogan's stuff was actually pretty decent. And Adam Sandler's stuff, like you can tell. Honestly, like the funniest thing, the movie starts with... Apatow and Sandler used to be roommates back in college or whatever, and that they both started coming up as stand-up comics. And they start with video that I presume was actually taken by Apatow when Sandler was like 19 years old, and it's him crank calling people, and it's by far the most wildly funny thing in the movie. And then it just goes completely downhill from there because then it's like
it's contrived based on that.
Then it's contrived and Sandler is a very funny guy in real life, and they never once try to make the persona of the character he's playing, this George Simmons guy, anything like him, really. They're trying to make it someone who's much more, it's almost like the Citizen Kane. It's the Charles Foster Kane of the film world.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who gets big enough in movies eventually has no friends because, that's the old adage and that's what they're playing off of. And basically, like, this guy's life is may or may not be ending, and who does he have to cry? Whose shoulder does he have to cry on? Nobody's. That's the thing.
Ah.
You know, I mean, everyone knows that's the thing. But I mean, it's just a rumination on that. And then it goes off the tracks, and the second half of it is them hanging out in Marin County at the house of Leslie Mann's character. The self-indulgence really begins there because Apatow's married to Leslie Mann.
And his kids are in it?
His kids play the kids of Leslie Mann and Eric Bana, and they're just throughout it.
Mm-hmm.
You watch an entire video of his oldest daughter doing an actual junior high performance of Memory from Cats. You watch the whole song.
Wow. That doesn't sound funny.
It's the most self-indulgent movie I've seen in a long time.
Wow.
The kids are amusing in their cameos and Knocked Up, but...
Yeah, a cameo is one thing. You come in, you say funny exactly. line, and you leave.
I don't want to see their whole, you know, jerk-off session to the kids, you know.
Eric Bana was all right. Adam Sandler honestly wasn't bad. Rogan wasn't as annoying as usual because he was playing a much nicer character than usual. Schwartzman was worthless. Jonah Hill was worthless.
What do you give it?
The funniest line in the movie was something Andy Dick said to Sandler. I'll repeat it.
Yeah.
When Sandler's looking for people to, Rogan suggests that he tell other people than him, like people that used to be his friends, that he's dying and that way to get more support. And so, there's just this montage of him telling all these various celebrities, or not him telling, but them reacting. And the Andy Dick part is, he goes, the issue with you is that you don't have any children to pass on your legacy. I've got three kids. It's great to have kids. And Sandler goes, you have three kids with how many dicks you've sucked? And Andy Dick goes, I sucked my own dick and then I spit it into the women's vaginas, and then they just cut away. And I'm like, I laughed. And here's maybe the most annoying. Maybe this is why I didn't like the movie. So I'm going up to buy the ticket, and there's a gaggle of like 5-year-old kids around me. Right, they're going in for something. I assume they're going in for the sequel to Death to Smoochie or something.
G-Force 2. Did G-Spot?
And then there's a whole bunch of incredibly elderly people kind of milling about also. They've got to be going to see, them rerunning Always or something like that. So I go to the theater, and that's all who's in there. It's 8 old people, and it's like an entire second grade class full of kids with one lady. And actually, one of the
movies... Going to see this R-rated Apatow movie?
It was filthy. It's utterly filthy.
But it doesn't look like you would take little kids to see that.
No, it doesn't. There's nudity, there's horrendous filthy language, and most language involves just astoundingly awful sex acts.
Well, like spitting semen into
vaginas. Well, no, that was clean. That's a clean thing.
I was at a midnight show of the new Friday the 13th, and there was kids throughout the audience. Parents bought their kids.
Yeah.
Babies crying throughout the theater.
You take your kid, right?
No way, man. Early on, like Sandler bangs a couple of like groupies, and they're just like totally naked. And these kids are just like bouncing on their seats, like throwing popcorn at each other. Wee, yay, look at the tits, yay.
Would you give Funny People?
1.5 out of 5.
Ouch. I'm glad I didn't waste time with that. Moon was better.
You should see it.
I'm glad I'm probably never going to see it.
I once again, I should point out that my grade is never meant to dissuade you, Ian Strope, from seeing a film. I want you, Ian Strope, to see every film.
You may very well like Funny People, Ian.
I don't think it's anything at all.
You're not bitter or cynical at all. You'd probably enjoy it.
What if your role as a film critic was to dissuade people from having a good time at the movies? So all you were saying was just to sort of get them to see bad movies.
So I would tell a lot of people that Funny People is...
fantastic.
100% off Oscar worthy. Go in expecting pure gold, and you'll come out holding golden eggs in both hands.
Go see Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
The movie will lay eggs all over you.
Yeah.
Number one, huh?
Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Yeah. 1.5 out of 5. Maybe even be pushing it, but I was just utterly bored. I never felt really any ill will from it to me, or me to it, but I just didn't.
And you didn't expect much from this either.
I didn't. I really didn't.
So usually that's the reverse. Usually you go in not expecting that much, and it's like, it's better than I expected.
Well, I mean, it doesn't happen all the time. You know, I go in not expecting much from something like The Uninvited, and it's still terrible, but I go in not expecting much.
What's the last genuine surprise that you had?
Away We Go.
Away We Go. I really was expecting
it. Beyond that, I've seen that. It's fun, but
I thought it, I liked it. I enjoy what I thought was going to be one of the worst movies I ever saw that I ended up enjoying was Fired Up. The teen cheerleader camp comedy.
That's stupid.
It had some actually like really good comedy writing in it. And then I don't know. It might have been something as far ago as that. Generally, if it's something that I'm pleasantly surprised by, it's like just marginally. And that movie, I actually laughed all the way through.
Mm. We still never saw Sorority Row, did we?
Saw it, yeah, man.
Oh my god.
Still waiting.
Yeah.
Did you like
some movie buffs, right?
Yeah, I don't think I do. I don't want to go in there and be the only one laughing the entire movie.
I'll just sit way far away from you. You can sit by Mark. I'm sure Mark will be there for Sorority Row.
I'll throw it. Where comes the shaking man? Nation in his eyes. Striped with blood and emblazed tattoo. Streaking cathedral spire, they say. They say. They say. He has no brain, they say. He has no moon, they say. He was born again, they say. Look at him climb, they say. Jump. They say, jump.
Speaking of that, there's always a story that I always tell when I talk about anything sexual in movies, and which is, of course, the Titanic masturbation story, you know?
You saw somebody?
Well, I was... This is back in the day, and during the Kate Winslet nude scene. Right. And I bring this up because they're re-releasing Titanic in 3D.
Okay, good.
And the Kate I heard the sound, the unmistakable sound of somebody masturbating in the theater.
Right.
In a crowded theater.
Right.
Packed theater. I don't know who it was.
Mark. Come sit closer.
It was in Eureka, California.
No, nice.
It was, yeah.
Probably the mall.
You were in that theater, Zach, but I didn't see.